Welcome to the Cyber Resilience Strategy Podcast. This series is designed for the audience of the strategy and aims to bring key points to life as we seek to build a cyber resilient defence. Over 10 episodes, we'll be talking through the strategic priorities with the people responsible for delivering them. We hope you enjoy listening. Welcome back to the Cyber Resilience Strategy Podcast. I'm Dan Snape, your host for the session. I'm joined by Sharon Wiltshire, who's been in the civil service for an impressive 32 years, most of that in the Ministry of Defence, but a brief 10-year sojourn over into the Cabinet Office. Sharon has been the Deputy Head for Cybersecurity Policy and the Supply Chain for the past 4 years. Sharon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you for inviting me.
So we're going to be focusing on the industry section on this session. And it's a really key part of the strategy. And for those people who have been reading it will have noticed that we've put the people and culture in the centre, but right next to it is industry itself. Could you tell me a little bit about this this priority that sits within the strategy?
I think for me the main thing is that it is a partnership. It's a relationship we have very closely with industry. That's not just the major primes. Obviously, some of them have connectivity on the RLI, but it goes much wider than that. Whether they're connected or not, suppliers can present an attack surface to defence. And that's what we need to be protecting against. That might be a breach of information from a compromised system, or it could be a vulnerability in a delivered capability. So we all need to include industry when we're looking at cybersecurity.
So I suppose, I mean, the key thing I've taken away from that is, and I link it back to some of the earlier recordings that we've done, we talked about the digital environment, and what you've hinted at there is the fact that the digital environment really extends out into industry now, with where mod information lies, where services are provided to us, and therefore they are part of the attack service that we are now very much concerned about.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you feel that the relationship we've had with industry thus far has maximised the opportunities to tackle that problem? Or is there a plan to sort of further that and make improvements in some way?
It could certainly do with improvements in some areas. It's definitely not about us and them. It is very much a partnership. We rely on industry to produce our capabilities for us. They rely on us to give them business. So it is symbiotic in that sense.
So again, Sharon, you know, looking at the digital environment we're talking about, it's a huge space now. There's going to be a clear need for prioritisation. Is there anything that defence is really zeroing in on that helps us start from somewhere? Because otherwise we're not going to get that coherency of effort, that focus and of activity. Where are we really beginning, I suppose, is my question.
And I think that's probably with our critical capabilities, fairly obviously. We're starting to get a much better view of critical capabilities now. There's still much to do, a lot more to do, but we do need to understand the whole supply chain. This isn't just about the primes. It's all the way down the supply chain. And resilience and security is really important. And the impact can be felt from right at the bottom of the supply chain. So the vulnerabilities don't need to be with suppliers that we have a direct relationship with. They could be 4-5 layers down the supply chain, but it could still impact on us.
That's really interesting because, again, a lot of people listening to this will appreciate the complexity of dealing with supply chains where you've got, you know, the prime contractors and you've got the subcontractors, mm-hmm. and it just carries on down that chain to some fabulous small to medium enterprises that work, you know, do great jobs for us for defence, but actually aren't the people we do the main contract with. They're part of that overall journey. So making sure that they have done all the principles of this strategy, the sorts of principles that the National Cyber Security Centre is espousing, the sorts of things we see in the National Cyber Strategy, all of those things need to be true across our entire chain. Of course, MOD relies upon data that we both feed and take from the supply chain. It relies on the information that exists out there. What are we doing to help build that relationship, take care of that data, get everybody on the sort of same level of what we need them to do for us so that we can collectively be resilient?
Well, one area where we've been working for some years already is together with industry in the Defence Cyber Protection Partnership, DCPP. It was set up some while ago, and the intent is to improve cyber security in the supply chain. So it's a collaboration, as I say, with the key primes, our main suppliers. But together, we created a process to protect what we call MOD identifiable information, which in the broadest sense is anything to do with capabilities of whatever type. We produced a DEFSTAN, giving controls that we expect to be in place, and that's supported by a defence contractual condition as well, DEFCON 658. And we've been recognised as very much leading the way in government in this work. So the process involves the MOD purchaser, the project manager, producing a short online risk assessment, and the suppliers responding to that with how they meet the necessary controls at each level. That flows all the way down the supply chain. So it goes wherever MOD identifiable information is being passed or where it's being created in the supply chain. So that's where we are now. But obviously we can't stand still. Technology's moved on, cybersecurity has moved on. And the controls we set out in the DEFSTAN a few years ago need regular review. We've reviewed them once already. We've got another one ongoing now as part of the secure in depth work. Possibly some controls will move to a lower level, but there's also new areas we need to bring in, such as cloud.
So there's a clarity of policy coming. There's a series of forums to help communicate that and hold one another. I mean, I don't want to really say holding to account as such, that sounds a little bit too rigid, but holding each other to the standards that we collectively need from one another. I'll use that language instead. And then making sure that we've got those clear defence standards published, that people have got a good chance of making sure it's all adhered to, but recognising that it will need to evolve. As you've already indicated, things have moved on already, so they're going to need to keep improving all the time. And I think that's something that I think for me is quite important as a message. I would have thought to recognise that we need to keep driving this forwards. This isn't a fixed point in time that we need to deal with things.
Definitely, yes. And it is back to that partnership too. So it's not just about us setting demands on industry. We need to be fulfilling our obligations here as well. So assessing the procurements we're doing and keeping on top of cybersecurity all the way through the process.
Okay. You touched on a term there that we haven't really delved into so far in this series, which is secure in depth. So just could you briefly, for the benefit of the people listening, just explain what that means? Because we've used an internal sort of term here that isn't necessarily familiar for everybody.
It's one of the programmes in the cyber resilience, one of the areas of the cyber resilience programme, which is focusing on security within the supply chain. So in depth all the way through our procurement and all areas of it, and to ensure that our suppliers are meeting the requirements and are carrying out good practice. So it's not just about DCPP, we're looking at other tools as well more widely. There's some really exciting real-time monitoring tools out there, and Secure in Depth is exploring those as well.
So Sharon, you used a term there that might not be familiar to a lot of our listeners because it's not something we've really touched on the series so far, which was that secure in depth terminology. Could you just give me a brief view of how you see that? What is it in from your perspective?
Yes, well, secure in depth is part of the cyber resilience program, and it's focusing on the security all the way through the supply chain, and how we can have confidence in our suppliers.
Right. So in essence, it is a programmatic bucket that aligns very neatly with the industry priority, with what we're trying to achieve overall.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
No, thank you. So I'll use that then to go across to secure by design, which is a familiar term that people will have heard from all quarters. So could you perhaps elaborate a little bit for me on what it is the MOD is doing for secure by design principles, the philosophy? How are we tackling that challenge?
Well, from a supply chain perspective, I've talked about DCPP and the focus on MOD identifiable information. That's absolutely the right first step, but it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. So it's all right to know that the information about the capability is protected, but what about the capability itself? Be that a military platform, be it software, some kind of service that's being produced for us or delivered to us. We want to be sure that the suppliers are baking in cybersecurity from the start. And that's what secure by design is all about, to ensure that our supply chain, and secure by design is wider than this, but from a supply chain perspective, that they are starting off with good cybersecurity engineering principles, and that everything they do is approaching cybersecurity as an important feature. So they understand their own supply chains, the provenance of the components and equipment they're using, and they're putting it together with cybersecurity in mind.
It's really interesting because Christine mentioned this in her introductory part of the series, where we talked about safety. And I suppose, in a sense, we're bringing the concepts behind cyber resilience, secure design, up to the same level. It's a factor that we need designers to think about from the concept stage that allows us to say, right, this has been built to be cyber resilient from the start. It is, you know, in the same way that safety is, it's a factor that should be a given and communicated in plain English. So it allows us to sort of assure those capabilities themselves, which is subtly different to the Secure Foundations work that I know that Hugh Tatton Brown talked about, which is much more focused on our digital IT systems themselves, which again applies similar principles to secure by design, but just focuses on IT. So that's all helping people to understand the subtleties between how we're approaching this. So how do you plan to do the assurance of this? We're asking a lot of industry. We're asking industry, and we're expecting industry to meet these new standards, to be forward-leaning in their design work and their concepts, to make sure that what they bring to MOD as proposals for capabilities are all cyber resilient. How are we going to work together to assure that?
Well, I mentioned the DEFSTAN we have for DCPP for MOD-II earlier, mm-hmm. DEFSTAN 05138. We're also developing a DEFSTAN for the product system and service side of things. But industry respond to our initial requests about their controls by assertion. So they tell us what they do. We need to have confidence that they are actually doing these things. So round about 12 months ago, we set up an audit function within the cyber defence and risk area. And the audit function is looking at our procurements, the project teams and the supply chain. DNS did some similar work on this over the last 2 to 3 years. But we're now doing it at scale. So in the last year, they have done approaching 200 audits. Pretty impressive start. And the audits are showing that suppliers are generally doing what they claim to be doing. There are obviously some shortcomings out there. The audits have also been really helpful in identifying areas where improvements can be made. And we're already starting to see repeat audits where suppliers are picking up on some of their failings and improving. So it's not just proving the process, it is bringing genuine improvement as well. But it's not just about auditing the suppliers. The process begins with auditing the project team. And that's a really important start, because unless the project team are setting the tone, if you like, by considering cybersecurity themselves and putting all the right processes in place themselves, then that's going to reflect on the supplier. From a supplier's perspective, why should they care if the project team doesn't care? So the project team is absolutely important in that, in terms of setting the tone, which is one reason why we audit project teams as well as suppliers.
That's really interesting, actually, because I've connected this back to the people and culture element, focusing on the cultural elements of the project team, whether they are in DE&S or elsewhere, and how that then ripples through as a leadership function into the behaviours from industry, how we hold them to the standard, how they hold us to the standard, and making sure that we have a virtuous cycle that drives our resilience to a level which everybody can accept meets the risk thresholds that we're looking for. So it all starts to connect back together, and that's a really positive thing that I think we can all take away from this. So I think as I come towards the end of the sessions, I tend to ask questions around, or two questions specifically. You know, what key messages do you have for the audience of the strategy that is reading this, and the, you know, the audience again is about those senior responsible owners. It's about those leaders in defence. It's very much about the industries in there in the audience as well. But I'm going to break them out. So for the internal audience, what key things do you think the leadership teams need to be able to take on board from this strategic priority?
I think it's about understanding that cybersecurity is really important, whatever it is that you are doing. So you may not consider that your job is anything to do with cybersecurity, but it can impact on whatever it is you're working on, the capabilities that people are procuring and are operating. So if we get cybersecurity wrong at the start, then that can have some very long-lasting effects and impacts on our capabilities. So it is really important to think about it and keep the focus on it all the way through.
So it's through life.
Definitely.
It's cheaper at inception of a
definitely,
project.
Definitely, yes.
It is expensive at midlife point to try and rectify. Yeah. And of course, the problem is that militarily speaking, in terms of our capability, it is the thing that we are very concerned will be exploited when we come to try and use these platforms if this hasn't been considered effectively. So
exactly.
That's a good message, I think, to make sure that our leadership element in MOD takes away from the audience that we're talking about here. And I talked about the you know, part of our audience is industry. What key thing would you want industry to really take away from this particular section in the strategy?
We recognise that this is a partnership, not just the Defence Cyber Protection Partnership, but generally our relationship with industry. We are in this together. We depend on industry. They depend on us. And we need to work together to improve the cybersecurity of our capabilities. But that also helps them, because if they're having to do it for us, then that will be improving their own cybersecurity anyway. So it's very much a partnership.
So partnership, mutually beneficial. And actually, it's about doing the right thing, not necessarily just constraining yourself to what is the contracted thing, because contracts have failings. So looking at...
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. looking at the principle behind this and applying some good old-fashioned common sense to driving up these standards and making ourselves collectively better is the key thing, really.
Absolutely.
Great. Sharon, it's been lovely to have this time with you. Thank you for your insight into this part of the strategy, and I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, Dan, and you.
Thank you for listening to the Cyber Resilience Strategy podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this session. You can get the full series available through wherever you choose to get your podcasts.